up a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Host Tanzen, Maggie, and me bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and die-hard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 17.2, Pop-Up Advertising, where we are covering the novel Proven Guilty. My name is Tanzen, and I am joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
249 days.
Chapter 3. While Harry is driving, Lashiel comes for a visit to remind him that her services are at his disposal. As Harry drives, he is surprised by the arrival of a certain tempting guest.
Temptress?
In the passenger seat.
Why, yes. Oh, my gosh.
I do love that she wears a Greek tunic.
Right.
Toga. Yeah.
Yes, we haven't seen too much of her yet. We got a little dribble of her in Deadbeat and like a, oh, yeah, that was a thing he did. And, oh, she's still there. And now she's just like, yo. It's like, yes, you get to see her again. And right away, she's like, just so you don't forget about me. And he's like, go back in your fucking box.
I think the funniest part of her just like randomly popping up is that like Harry's way of controlling it is like, put a seatbelt on.
I know.
And the funnier part is that she does. She's like, fine.
My car, my head, my rules.
I understand that keeping whatever semblance of control in the situation you have is good, and that forcing boundaries on her is
necessary, appropriate.
Well, yeah, I mean,
a good
practice,
yeah.
It's more for Harry's benefit rather than hers, you know? Almost nothing he ever does or says to her affects her. It's all just for, you know, Harry's resolve and Harry's morale. Like, yeah, I'm still in control of things. It's kind of more where I see it from, because for her, again, like you said, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And even later on in the book, too, there's a couple of times when he's like, as long as I just don't think about it immediately, I'll slow her down. She'll always get to know about it eventually, but I can just block the now
thoughts. Active thoughts, yeah.
But yeah, but I'm just, well, really, who cares? She's so smart and so sentient within his mind, access to everything more or less, that she could almost just be writing your day-to-day life for you and just predict every outcome
and
possible of the day.
That's what Harry's worried about. That's the whole problem, is that Harry knows that, too.
So it's a little bit funny for him to be like, as long as I can slow her down. I'm like, as long as you feel good about that, Harry.
Right.
And well, it's really just for you.
Well, and it is funny, because like I say, she basically scares the shit out of him just popping. I'm like, again, you live in her mind. You, like, she just basically just said, he's like, put on a seatbelt, and she's like, I exist in your mind only as, I'm like, you couldn't have eased in, you couldn't have given him a warning, you couldn't be like, hey, Harry, I'm, you know, you know, you just got to suddenly pop into view and scare the crap out of him while he's driving. But, you know, but I love that they do. They kind of have this back and forth, right? And I agree with you, you know, that I'm like, you can't block her from seeing what's going on as you're doing it. You can't block her from rifling through your memories, but you can shield your active thoughts.
Well,
like how...
And that's even more why it's funny to me.
Why can't you block more of...
If she's always there constantly, then he could just be imagining her constantly so she can't pop in and out. And she's basically just doing like that whole object permanence with a baby thing where it's like peekaboo, where she's just like, he's just purposely like an animaniac. I'm standing in your pupil. Now I'm not. I'm standing in your pupil. Now I'm not. It's kind of, they're both at fault for this, really.
Right. This whole like Schrodinger's Denarian or something, you know? Well, but I do kind of get a little bit what he's saying there, too, about the active is that you're right. She is going to find out, but hopefully after he's already done it, right? You know what I mean? If he's actively thinking of a plan and what he's going to do, and she can't sort of alter what he's doing at the time until the decision is made, and then the decision is made. So I kind of get that that's where he gets a little bit of a, you know, like the 3-second delay on radio so they can bleep you if need be, you know? It's like he's got just enough that he can... You know, keep, he can bleep those bits.
Wait a second. What? What do you mean they can bleep you on the radio?
back in the day.
This whole time?
Yes, which is why they always tell you to, like, turn the radio off in the background when you're calling in, because it creates that feedback loop, and it's
Nobody
usually delayed.
Nobody trusts us with anything.
I know, yeah, because people like us get on the radio who just naturally swear every third word, whether it's needed or not. Some people don't like that, my mother. So,
yeah. For excellence.
It would be funnier if this was that sort of Iron Man and Captain America language between one and the other.
Yeah.
You're in my head, you're not going to swear, or vice versa. I can only be in your brain, so you can't swear. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I love Lash so much, like, that she just has no problem with breaking the rules to be like, by the way, I'm at your disposal. He's like, you're not supposed to contact me. I'm supposed to contact you. But I'm just reminding
you. And I've done
that.
I've done that right up until now, just so. Well,
I do
like zero problem
Lash.
Breaking the rules.
She's so great. And I know that's her job, but she's so great.
And this, exactly, right? You've got this 2,000-year-old, right? She's had plenty of time to understand the human mind and come in contact with all kinds of types and personalities, and exactly, she is the temptress, so right there this whole thing is in her wheelhouse. But I also love how it's a little bit of like a Bob situation, right? Is that exactly, she adapts to like the personality she's dealing with. And so because Harry is this kind of smart alecky, stick it to the man, non-authoritarian, right? And she plays into that too, right? It's like she has her own certain, like, she's like, okay, well, this is the way I like to dress, and he hasn't, you know, doesn't want me to be someone specific. So, but again, where she also knows how to play into, you know, and get
I'm pretty sure Lashiel invented marketing and the pop-up advertisement.
Very good chance.
That is the ultimate pop-up right there.
Fucking bitch. Hey.
Bing.
Customized advertisement right here.
Right here. Yeah, oh my God. This is where Facebook and all that came from. Damn you, Lashiel.
Mm-hmm. This is a little bit of that chicken and the egg, no matter what, when it comes to Lash, because as Nicodemus said when he handed the coin over, it's like, I already chose a rule breaker for a rule breaker, so you're already a perfect pair, and obviously Lash is also, I know I'm the temptress, I know exactly what to say, do, dress, looks, snark, just the perfect amount for whoever the hell I'm talking to.
Yeah.
And vice versa, that whole, well, this is just how Harry is, and it's like, okay, but Lash is, you know, this is her job, this is her thing.
And it is so much better. And I mean, obviously, you know, we have an author pulling the strings, and so of course, but like, right, this would not have been the same if he'd ended up with like Urthiel or something like that, you know, just some big thug of a, right? Because I mean, okay, Harry can definitely be a big thug too, but right, Harry needs that, you know, he needs the wit and the, right, if it was just, he'd have a lot easier time, I think, just saying no to straight up
Hulk
muscle.
Well, that's why it's a little bit, when he calls himself out here and says, you know, she lives somewhere in that 90% part of the brain maybe. That I use, maybe 95, and I'm like, cut yourself some credit here, I know it's a funny joke, but you're only alive this long because of your smarts, and part of the reason why Lashiel is allowed to exist in your mind this long is because of the smarts, too. You can both tolerate each other because you're not two oafs that are just...
Well, that, too,
Mash, whatever.
And again, you've got enough, power to, like you say, limit her. And again, we're learning along with Harry that maybe it's not as contained as he would like to think all of the time. But it obviously is more contained than others. That
I think
has
part
been
of the
a couple
reason
of
that,
years now, and he hasn't gone all in.
I think part of the reason that Lash doesn't push as hard, and, you know, not to insult you, Harry, I'm sure you're very smart and brave and amazing.
Come on, we've read the book. We know Jessica. He is, but.
But I think she's letting him have more control than even, he thinks that he's fighting for control, and I think she's just allowing a lot of it.
Letting him underestimate her.
She likes
the illusion of it.
She likes the choices he's making. She likes the things that he does. She doesn't feel the need to take over 100% because she's like, for the most part, I'm happy
with
this.
I'm getting what I want anyways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas if she'd taken over someone that was a little bit, you know, stupider, more oafish, more smash bang, she might have been like,
let's just get this done.
Yeah. Not just because it was easier, because, you know, Harry's not an easy prey, but at the same time of just being like, I don't like the way you do things, so I'm just in charge now. Whereas Harry, I think she's a little bit of that, like, okay, it's not perfect, but it's entertaining for now. So
not that she's bossy, she just has better ideas.
Mm-hmm. Weird, like other people we know.
Not that that's the t-shirt I got Jessica that she's wearing right now. But yeah, exactly, right? If she didn't like the style of whoever she was shadowing or whatever, she would have been much more dominant, much more aggressive and assertive in getting what she...
She's got all the time in the world as long as he's not in danger.
Yeah.
That's when she's like, oh, well, you have to live.
And this is an interesting point that they come here where he's like, I would have banished you if I could think of a way of doing it without killing myself. And she's like, excuse me, I want to live. And he's like, yeah, that's my point. If I could survive it, knowing full well that it's not just necessarily the magic it would take. But I'm like, yeah, you would fight back. And
so maybe he did not want to kill those people in cold blood. But Lash was like, ah, we got to live. Shoot, shoot, shoot.
Which ones?
Corpse Taker and Cassius bullshit, man.
Okay, I was like, that wasn't really in cold blood, right? But okay, yes, yes, yes.
No, but that's what Harry keeps saying is, you know, I had Achilles no heel, yeah. The worst I've ever been. I'm such a monster now because of those two deaths that definitely deserved it. Maybe we can pin that on her. Rather than like Harry in the moment, it's just like, she's been tempting you a little bit more. Like,
right.
Here,
you
like
had
over
that,
there.
Right. You might not have 100% made that decision, but you had that little...
Regardless
we
of the
know
dark
from
magic.
The example of the last book that she... can produce lots of things that he thinks he's seeing that are real,
yeah,
that
exactly.
aren't.
We never know.
Like, seeing and hearing.
And we already also know he's an unreliable narrator, so these could be moments that were actually her.
Well, that's even more annoying about her being able to pop into the seat, is like, you should really be trying to see her at all times, doofus. Like, you know she's in your brain. Oh, but she promised she wouldn't do it again. Okay.
Which, I mean, again.
You've been wearing purple pants all week, Harry, and don't know it, but okay.
And this is exactly, like, he say chicken.
Like, she could be Emperor's clothing him literally every single day, and he doesn't know about it. He's like, that's fine.
That's, yeah, literally the point I was just going to make. Like, you say the whole chicken is we don't know. Like, if she can, you know, make the illusion that she actually pulled the seatbelt over and he heard the click, so obviously he's not still seeing the seatbelt sitting there hanging from the door frame or what, you know what I mean? She could... multiple, you know what I mean? She could be sitting there. She could be in plain view the entire time and also have 10 other versions of her not visible doing what, like, you know, like, this is the whole thing that seen or not seen or talked to or not to or in your... Like,
and just knowing that she's talking to Harry's dark shadow the whole time, too, at any given time, right? But also, I mean, we've already fucked up if, like, Thomas has been dead this whole time and rotting in a corner, but every time Harry walks into his apartment, he just has a conversation with his brother and doesn't know why he's here. The last one is appearing as Thomas.
Right?
Being
right.
Like, I'm busy, I gotta go.
Like, almost, yeah, this is the thing, right, is that there's... unending, infinite possibilities.
The fairies
of,
came in one time, cleaned up a body, and were like, all right, we don't ask questions, man.
I find this sad more Fruit Loops.
I find this read-through, even, like, I do sort of, like, look at things and go, was this Lash or was this you? Like, you...
Right, now you've got that seed of doubt planted that you take a more critical eye to everything Harry does. And again, everything he's done in the last couple of years, you can now look at through another lens now that you know these and everything going forward. And this is...
There's so many moments in this book that... I don't know if this was the book that sparked it for me originally or not because it's too hard to look back to that. But again, my time travel theory... I could point to so many moments in this book where I'm like, there it is. That's it. That's a moment. Here's the proof. This is the thing. And I mean, we'll get to those chapters as we get to them. But the whole time, too, is like, Jim Butcher has confirmed there's a time travel book coming. We already know that as a fact, okay? It's definitely coming. Harry breaks every single law of magic. It has to come. We know that. And then we already know that Lash is ruining his perception of things at who knows any given time possible, whatever. So yeah, having those two things play for this book the whole time is just, what do we know anymore, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. It's like that whole thing, like we say, like you could never know what someone else is thinking. And again, we have to take people at their word and face value to it, right? You know, but I mean, it is. It's that whole thing of exactly, are you seeing it or not? Are you getting the whole story or not? Are they telling you the truth or not? Are they, right? And I mean, kudos, because like with this whole thing, like, kind of like the whole cannon fodder thing, we'd all like to think we'd pull out our fancy martial arts moves that, you know, we got from watching TV or, you know, some super clever thing if we were in a critical situation. And we're like, no, in reality, I probably would be cannon fodder, right? Like, I'm probably one of the first ones down in the zombie apocalypse.
Most of us are red shirts.
Mm-hmm. Most of us are red shirts. And it's the same thing here, right? Where it's like, I would love to think that I would be like, no way, bitch, you're evil. You just stick to the recess. And I'm like, yeah, in reality, I probably would have caved within, like, the first month. I would have been like...
wow, you're cool.
Exactly.
I like that.
Oh, I can't...
They could have told me the whole playbook and I'd be like, that's more fun than going to work every day.
How he writes it with the as you wish. Oh, that. Like, that just, like, having that sort of, like, Princess Bride reference every time just makes me even more fond of her without my consent, damn it.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it's kind of that two-way, too, because, okay, first of all, just a Princess Bride reference. Of course everyone's going to love you for that. You're amazing. And also just the... you know, laden meaning behind saying as you wish is also a little like, oh my God, Lash. Oh my God. I'm blushing right now. On top of all of this, as much as we love Lash, it's meant that he's avoided Michael this whole time, which is another layer that's just sad.
And you're like, what? What do you mean you have?
I have two friends and I can't talk to either one of them because of.
And it's even worse that Michael has been actively trying still, like, to invite him for, like, family things. Like,
and I do like that at least Harry has picked up those calls because he's like, I haven't called him. I haven't gone to see him. But it's like, okay, well, at least you have picked up. But yeah, but he's like, but I cut it short and try not to. And I'm like, I do get it. I fully understand, right? You feel super guilty. You've got this thing. Michael is literally the sworn enemy of this shadow you've got. So, but I'm like, but you don't think he's picking up on the fact that you've suddenly, like, just dropped, like, ghosted him for, like, 2 years, you know, kind of
a thing?
Like,
a funny thing for us is that it's taking us roughly a year to get through each book. Is that it's been 2 real years for us since we've seen Michael. And it's like, that's a long time, man. We missed that guy.
That's a long time. And he... Yeah. Oh,
Harry's harboring some serious, like, shame and guilt.
Yeah, which if he would just even tell
Michael, like, I didn't do the wise thing, but I did do it to try to save your child. Michael would understand.
He would totally understand, but that's the thing that Harry's scared of, is that he's going to look at me like I'm a Daenerian, because I am.
He would understand, but again, unless he turns it over, because that's the thing, right? Harry could have turned the coin, he could have picked it up and gone into Michael and said, take this and give me an exorcism. And right. He didn't. He took it home and buried it.
Hence more shame. He's had 2 years to do it.
And again, right, it feeds to that thing that Harry
vicious
has...
Vicious cycle.
Harry's left the option open, right? I'm going to quit smoking, but I'm not going to tell all my friends and relatives because they'll bug me about it. And that way, if I really need one, nobody's going to call me on it because nobody knows I quit. So they'll just think it's normal if I have one and stuff. Whereas if I tell everybody, then they're going to know I'm breaking my rule if I have one, whether or not they say, you know what I mean? Like things like that, right? Where he's like, he's giving himself that out, that option. I'm like, I'm just not going to tell. And then I'm never going to pick up the coin. I'm totally never going to. I buried it. I put spells around it. It's not there.
She's
but
still
why haven't you handed it over?
Useful.
But it's still, what if one day something in my life goes so terribly wrong and so horrible and so bad
if she wasn't
that
there,
I really need the extra oomph that Lash can give me.
To do the translations for the book, they would all be dead.
And he's eggs.
Lash is like almost the perfect ex to go back to, because what if he could just get her out of his head, but then like 6 weeks later, he's like, oh my God, I miss you. And he just like unburies it and he touches the coin. He's like, zap, back. And then he buries it again, but he's like, okay, you're back.
I am right.
And he's like, okay, I'm going to exercise myself again. And then like 6 weeks later, he's like, okay, wait,
right, I just need this little, yeah. And that's the thing, like, he didn't know it at first when he first touched it and buried it, right? He had no.
Well, that's why it's kind of weird that he didn't immediately just walk into the house with the two knights and being like, guys, oops, my bad.
So again,
because
right,
at that point, he wasn't even a little bit half in love with Lash. I am accusing you of Harry Dresden, just so you know. Even if you're kind of half just in love with yourself. I think if Bob was a woman, he would have been like half in love with Bob.
For sure.
The woman presenting spirit.
Yes, if Bob was... Fuck, don't make me... Why did you have to derail me like that? But that goes immediately back to why he didn't, is because exactly, it means there was already that shadow of doubt talking to him, even though we didn't realize it until Sheila popped up in Deadbeat. But exactly, why didn't he immediately? Was she influencing him right from the second? Did it take time for that shadow to develop and do anything?
That's what I think, though, is they work fast. That's their job, is to like...
Exactly, so even though he had no conscious realization of, right? So
I like that a lot. I think the second that Lashiel's coin got picked up, she immediately was like, get away from the knights. And Harry was like, oh my God, get away from the knights, get away. And it didn't seem like not
no,
Harry's
it was,
thoughts.
Yeah, it was
it
his,
did seem
again.
Like this is in line with what I'm thinking right now, but it's actually good, yeah, looking back on it.
Exactly, right? So that's the whole thing of why he probably... So, I mean, that first initial temptation was Harry's because he hadn't touched it yet. Again, I'm with Georgia. Why didn't you pick up the child? Right? But okay. He did that split second. Okay, whatever.
Instinct.
But like you say, I think exactly like the second that he did sort of, there probably was that little insidious voice right from the start. Very, very subtly.
It's a coin. Who doesn't be like... Pick up. That's your first instinct. When you see money on the floor, you pick it up.
Well, it would. And given the whole thing, like I say,
it's not
right?
A scary,
if the
like, you know.
Coin landed between him and the child.
Nice.
He's that much closer to the coin than the child. But
for argument's sake, There have been many, 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 many tests conducted. Well, for us now, it would have been like 15 years ago. But they still do this test in the United States or anywhere else where they still produce pennies. They go out into streets and they drop like $100 worth of pennies. And they wait to see if anyone picks them up. And people don't. It's not worth anyone to stop in New York Times or
like
in Toronto.
A pile of pennies
just
altogether.
All over the street. They're separated by like a foot to 10
okay,
feet
so
each.
Okay, so not
whatever.
Just like a penny.
Just to see
penny
how many, here, how many
yes,
are gone.
It's just real money.
It's $100.
And it's not worth anyone's time to bend down and pick up a penny. Nobody ever does it. At the end of the day, they go and collect their $10 worth of change or their $100 worth of change, and they're missing like two pennies. Because an entire street worth thousands and thousands and thousands of people walking up and down it, not one of them thought it was worth their time to bend down and pick up a penny. Real legitimate free cash.
Yeah. And like you say, had you picked up a few of them, you could have had a couple bucks. You could have had $100. If anybody drops a $2 bill or a $5 bill or a $20 bill or a $100 bill, you're damn sure.
Exactly. And so, you know, that, oh, you see money on the ground, you pick it up. If the coin is a denarian coin, and you know that, maybe there shouldn't be temptation.
Okay.
I see a coin. I see a penny, I pick it up.
Find a penny, pick it up. All day long, you'll have good luck.
Right,
especially if you suddenly pick up 100 of them. And I admit, something like that may or may not pick up a penny. What?
Well, I think that
might 100 pennies is a
the one person that would totally foil that experiment.
Yeah.
Like, but I was going to say,
if there's pennies all over the place.
I'm like, if I could see there's a shit ton, I'm like, okay, there's a couple bucks at least. Yeah, that I would. That's
Canada
what's funny.
Canada got rid of the penny more than 10 years ago, but it had been a debate for like 20 years before we actually finally just got rid of it. I was a child in grade school when this conversation was prominent, and our teachers would often bring in news articles about it and make us watch documentaries about it. And I just remember like
documentaries on the penny.
No, I'm not even joking.
Oh, I know, but it's just as funny.
Multiple years in a row watching multiple different documentaries
about the penny.
Popular Canadian tourist spots and roads and like high traffic areas, and then just being like, we've dropped, you know, $10 worth of pennies everywhere, and at the end of the day we got back like $9.75. like, you know, 20,000 people walked past this and not, you know, and 20,000 of the minus 25 thought, nah, not worth it.
Yeah.
Well, it has more value in the copper to make the penny
exactly.
than the actual penny is worth. It's like 1.6 cents to make the penny.
1.6 cents to make a penny. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, which is why maybe it didn't. Well, and it's funny, too, because you look at the things like where you used to do those machines where you press a penny and either stamp something else on it or just whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, and again, it was like, oh, sure, a penny was worth, you know, I'm like, nobody's dropping like a quarter or, you know, I was like, do any of those machines still exist? Does any, you know, do they do it on like
a they digital? Do, but they come with a little tap pad on them now that costs 25 cents and you get something that was never a penny in the first place. It was always just a stamped piece of copper.
There you go. Huh. There you go. Mm-hmm. So,
which is less, you know, like skirting the laws, I guess, because you're not allowed to deface money.
But it was just a penny.
Yeah, right?
But I mean, like, yeah, even those, right? How many like millions of dollars in pennies have gone?
Yeah, I think the way of the Dobies, like Disneyland and museums now. But
yeah, it used to be like at West Edmonton Park or Fort Edmonton.
They used to be everywhere.
Like they used to be. Yeah. Oh,
they
you said now they're only now yeah. they're only yeah yeah. But yeah, it's just funny little things like that, right? But the only flip side to that, I would say, is the denarian coin. And I'm like, okay, but anything that's not a local coin, you definitely start. It might only be, you know, Greek penny, but I don't have Greek coins around here, so I'm going to pick it up. You know what I mean? That's the other thing. You see some kind of old, foreign something. I was like, it doesn't matter if it's a penny or not.
And if you don't have your guard up and you're just in the vicinity of a coin, can she have that kind of influence on you to be like, pick me up instead of the kid?
I don't know that one. That one I am willing to say Harry is a fool.
Yeah.
And just does make bad decisions.
Because otherwise I think you would have...
But I do like the immediate influence, I think, which would explain all of this...
That he could have gone immediately. He was literally with two knights were like 10 feet away, and he could have been like, yo guys, you know, like, I just saved your kid, and
exactly.
But you know, even like you say, if he did manage to grab the coin instead of the kid, and no, but yes, like you say, for 2 years now he's been pulling the sorry Michael, I have to wash my hair card, and it's very sad. But Michael, still being Michael, has still been calling him periodically to check out on it too. So that's the other thing. Most of us would have been like, all right, fine, right?
Oh, Michael's
I get
friend.
The message, fuck you, whatever, you don't have time for me, I don't have time for you, whether maliciously or not. I mean, this is how people phase out in and out of each other's lives, right? I'm like, best friends from childhood, I still love them to death. Yeah, I talk to them like once or twice a year, and I remember to text them on their birthday, and you know what I mean? No, I would if they called me, but I'm like, I don't have the time, they're busy, you know? They didn't call me. I didn't call them. Oh, well, we're fine, you know. But yeah, Michael's like still, again, Michael's a little bit like Lash. He's like, just, I'm still on the peripheral. I'm still here. If you want to talk, Harry, just remind
me. Oh, yeah, Michael would love that comparison.
She can pop it every now and again.
I think Michael's more like, if it's the will of God that Harry comes back into my life, then that's, he'll come back into my life. If it's the will of God that Harry's doing his own thing, then fine.
Yeah, right. And that's probably it too. But yeah, Michael, again, is just like, okay, I won't push things. I'm here for if you need me, bud. But
it probably helps that his wife isn't like, oh my God, he's not coming to dinner. What? Oh, no, call him back.
While Harry contemplates all of this, he hears a crunching and suddenly starts to lose control of the beetle.
Yeah, what? Why? Because there's no way things could get any worse.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us to do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at www.patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 4. Murphy comes to check on Harry after his run-in with the Chrysler.
Lo and behold, his nice little chit-chat with Lash is over, and now somebody is ramming his car.
Big old
stupid
Chrysler.
Fucking bitch, do you have 360 or not? What the hell?
What is the point of this fucking ghost lady?
Lash, you're so useless.
I'm totally here if you need anything. I don't want your help. Okay.
I don't want you to die, Harry, but yeah, get fucking smashed into smithereens, yeah. You piece of shit. No defensive driving for you.
She already did the... you know, math at, like, super high speed, and she's like...
This risk assessment, you're fine.
She's like, this won't kill him. This'll teach it. I could have told you, but you didn't want me here. I'm not allowed to tell you.
I stopped from having whiplash. You're welcome. Actually,
and maybe it was her idea to have the seatbelt on to make sure that he had his own seatbelt on.
Have you seen those TikToks? Oh, my God, it's your fault.
My fault.
It's your fault.
With the TikToks?
When we were living in the same house, Mom broke her leg, and then Tanzan made us throw the crutches away so we wouldn't invite more broken legs into our house. Harry made Lash put a seatbelt on, and then they got into a car accident.
This is true, and we've never had crutches to use as a Halloween prop since.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tanzan.
Just saying.
How many broken legs have you had since?
Also zero.
It was just my
foot. I was literally wearing a leg brace all week this week. And it just took just it off today because I was like, I'll just be sitting. I don't have to walk around for 16 hours. Anyways.
I love that this is not the first time that you've brought up this bitterness about the crutches.
They were fun to play with, and I didn't have to play with them because Mom had to use them for medical reasons, and then as soon as she was healed and they were free to be played with, you got rid of them.
They didn't get rid of that fast. We did have them for a little while, but the air cast too. Which somebody just like...
You could have faked an injury as many times as you wanted.
And that was me who was asking. It's like, do you guys still have it?
Nope. Somebody made me get rid of it. So I don't have to lend out.
The junk that we haven't carried to 45 homes is the thing you wanted. This is why we don't get rid of things.
See? You never know. 15 years later, you might need it. Why pay for an air cast? I already have one.
Oh, man. There's these really funny TikToks. Someone gets into an accident really, really minor, and then the camera pans from like the tiniest little scrape and it pans to the occupants of the car, and they're like hanging out of the window and they're like yeah. On the floor, and like some pedestrian walking by the car is on the ground. And it's really, really funny. And I was like, Lash, if she'd done that right now, that would have been so fucking funny. I'm like, well, he's dealing with all of this, she's just draped out of the window. No one wants to hear from Harry. And Harry would have been like, stupid fucking piece of shit. I think he's so fucking bad.
Blood spurting out of her.
I want a rewrite for that.
Opportunities. That would have been so good.
Mangled jaws of life, Lashy Hell, and Harry's like, listen, bitch.
That's like, Harry would not have been able to contain himself to not be talking to ghosts in front of people. Everyone would have been like, yeah, he's fucked up. He needs to go to the hospital.
Oh, I love that. My face hurts from laughing at that. Just that. That was good.
That would be good.
Subscribe to our Patreon, where we're now posting fan fiction of how the scene should have gone.
So, yeah. Harry gets broadsided.
That would be fucking hilarious.
That would be so funny.
It's funny how he gets all battered around, but he still has, like he only loses, like, what, one side window? Because the back window was still plexiglass from the last time it got shot out yeah. and, like, deadbeat. He's like, I'm adjust. Which, by the way, I think we've mentioned before, but just in case I haven't, anybody missing a window? Clear vinyl shower curtain.
You have mentioned it.
So brilliant. Okay. So, yeah. So he only loses a window, but he can't get his door open. So he, like, how he, it's like, I can just find the energy to slide back across it when I, you know, climb back in my window. I have old Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, his delirium moment is kind of fun.
He almost thinks to look for the license plate, and then he's like, yeah, fuck it. They're gone. Or maybe not.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I do appreciate that he has some little wherewithal. But, again, Lash, did you get the license plate?
Right?
She's respecting his wishes at that
moment. I know,
but fuck you, bitch. Fuck you.
Just to prove a point.
Wait, what is that? Malicious compliance, anyone?
I understand all of that. It's just that, spoilers, he never asks her for the rest of the book or the rest of his life. He never asks her. And it's just like, it's convenient last book, but not this book, so we're not going to do it.
Right. In all fairness, though, again, she doesn't have complete autonomous. Right, so if he has not glanced at the car, she's not going to know it either.
I know, she's not actually 360. I know she's not actually there. She can only see what Harry's eyes see.
Yeah, and I mean, sure.
But if he's looking in that direction, she gets it.
You'd think there was, yeah, the possibility that if he saw the car.
But if he's already got a head injury by then, his eyes might not even work enough for her to be able to decipher.
I get, plot device. It is very convenient that, right, had he needed to, if they wanted to solve this quickly, somehow, some way.
We must leave room for plausible deniability.
Yes. Suspension of disbelief. Yes.
There we go. Thank you.
Sorry.
That one.
So, yeah, so he says there. So this guy shows up. And Dresden recognizes him, which means one of two things. He's just somebody that we will never, ever, ever hear again about in any of the series, or he will be dead by the end of the book. One of the two.
Wait, I haven't gone that far.
This is what I'm saying. We don't know yet. But this guy has popped up, and Harry recognizes him and names him. So it just means he is legitimately just one of the many, many people that Harry does know on the Force.
Got a name.
Because, or he will, you know, we'll just never, ever, ever hear from him again. Or yeah, he's the red shirt in this book that will pop up and be dead later on because they need to kill a cop somewhere and it can't be
Grayson.
Murphy. Yeah. It's one of the two.
So the cop does help him get out of the car, sits him on the curb, assesses whether or not it's concussion or drunk, which is very fair, I guess, but I would be offended.
I do kind of like, just kind of checks it for open bottles. Okay.
Just a bloody shirt. It's fine.
And then Murphy shows up. And now, this book was obviously written before the last short story was written. However, because this has got all the references to a wedding having taken place, it's clear that Jim Butcher had already had his timeline in place. He didn't just throw in a wedding. He already knew that Billy and George's weddings got fucked up by Jenny Greenteeth before he ever wrote that short story where it actually happens.
Yeah, well, or at least he knew there was going to be. I mean, he knew there was a wedding. That's all he says.
Well, but he mentions that later on in the book. He's all like, Maeve, you fucking piece of shit. Interfering piece of shit.
Okay.
So we know that Jim Butcher had those events laid out regardless of whether or not he'd written for it yet or not.
Right, that was in the backstory, whether or not. Now he's like, actually, I need a short story. Let me take this point.
Exactly.
Okay.
Which means Harry and Murphy have kissed at this point.
Not really.
That was CPR.
I mean, sort of.
He
said,
CPR.
There was just a half second where she started moving where you could interpret it as a kiss, but yes,
I guess. We're in this post-kiss world now, people.
And we are just ignoring it. It never happened. But yes, it is kind of a cute moment where, yeah, a cop sits him down on the curb. And he's already just doesn't even know how long, like, he had. I mean, not that he could if he doesn't have a cell, but I do like that somebody called the cops, or I guess, I don't know, Grayson was patrolling that area, and somebody has noticed a car crash in this guy, and comes to check on him. And I just thought, he's like, I just sat there, like, watching the curb spin until, like, poor dear is so, which, again, suspension of disbelief, plot device, plausible deniability. How many conks on the head does Harry take on a regular basis? I get it. A car crash is potentially a lot more than somebody's fist. In other cases, too, he's potentially had, like, his shield up partially or something. But, yeah, this is This is definitely rattled things.
I like that Grayson knows him enough to call Murphy.
I like that Grayson knows that too, right? That he doesn't just call in and doesn't immediately call him up on these clothes or anything. Waits until Murphy's there, waits until Murphy can kind of check, and he's like, so, and Harry's like, don't worry about it. He's like, okay, because Murphy's like, yeah, don't worry about it.
He's like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
You're worse than my kid.
I should probably not believe you, but yeah, okay, fine. I'm just gonna say okay.
I know, right? I got a lieutenant here. I'm just presumably a beat cop. Not my monkeys, right? Above my pay grade, whatever. If Karen's not concerned, alrighty, I'm not gonna sweat it too bad. I'll assume that this is your Halloween costume in July. You know, just very sweet that she shows up and is like, hey, how are you? And he's like, oh, I'm fine. She's like, you're not making any sense. He's like, all right, maybe I'm a little bit not fine, but I'm mostly fine.
It's very sweet that she shows up. Like, I just love that.
It's a nice, sweet moment between the two. She takes a little bit of care of him, and she's like, well, I don't know. Nicer version than we have previously seen. This, like, softening up where they're,
not just tough cop
more
chick.
Proof that they're real friends now. They've gotten past a lot of their
What hurdles. Were you doing, Harry? Who did you provoke that they tried to run you off the road? What is it you're not telling me?
Well, and you know, believing that another car got into an accident with him and that he's not a drunk driver, because the other car is gone.
Yes.
For all I know, he just hit a fucking
mailbox.
Nothing. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, but yes, exactly. But yes, that she's more willing, that she doesn't automatically assume there's something else going on that he's not telling her. And she's like, yo, you should get checked out. And he's like, no, they're just going to take me to the hospital. And I love how they can add another element, because the guys never want to go to the hospital. I mean, pretty much the hero in any book or movie doesn't. But again, Harry is like, I'm going to short stuff out. And it's like, okay, but you've been to the hospital before. But he's also like, also, there's this whole vampire thing, and they're specifically watching and trying to pick off vulnerables. So he gets, like, all these reasons, and she's like, all right, fine. But she's like, I won't let them. She's like, you need to let the EMT take a look. Yeah. But she's like, I'll make sure they don't. Like, whereas normally she would have been, Harry, stop being a stubborn ass and go to the hospital. And
yeah, she's just got his back without...
She's got his back.
Without having to question.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, without having to verify and all of that. And it's funny, too, because she's like, so what'd you get into? And he's like, I don't even know yet. He's like, I don't know.
In 20 minutes, bro.
I got, like, some vague warning about something that just doesn't even seem likely to be part of, but yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And I like how she dreams and adds an interesting spot to it, too. She's like, it's not a pro. And he's like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, I get into this or this or this or this or this, you know. Although the one thing I don't like, and I'm assuming they're doing it simply for the benefit of anybody in the audience not knowing, or maybe it's supposed to be, again, another indication of Harry being, like, concussed. But she's like, an attack of opportunity. And he's like, what's that?
Yeah, that's part to I'm me. I'm like, Harry obviously
it's when somebody attacks when there's an opportunity. Yeah, I was like, I hated that had to be explained. I'm like, I'm just going to hope.
I'll be honest, I didn't like that moment either. I was like,
why are we dumbing
it this much?
You wouldn't think anybody would either.
Harry has a concussion.
That's the, because I'm like, again, like, Harry as a PI.
Was he being sarcastic?
Has not either been subject to and has, Harry's done attacks of opportunity plenty of time.
And I also think maybe just potentially give Murphy a chance to do her job, because sometimes it's a little bit like, we don't need a cop anymore. Harry can just do whatever he wants. He knows everything the cops know. So it's a little bit more to be like, Murphy, do your job. Live your character role.
Yeah. Explain what how criminals think and act. Yeah. So, but yeah. But yeah, that's what I was going to say, because my only hope is just that it's supposed to emphasize his king. Although, I guess it's just funny, because normally they would have, I feel like, made, you know, like Murphy gave me a look. Like, you're so fucking stupid. Obviously, you're concussed, so let me explain it to you. Where it's just kind of because they don't sort of make it that obvious.
She smiled a little.
She smiled a little and is like, but yeah. They just don't make it obvious enough that this is supposed to be playing up the fact that he's concussed and that's why he doesn't know. But that's the only acceptable reason to me, because I'm like, that's bullshit if you had to explain it for any other reason.
Yeah.
But anyways, but yeah, so he wants to talk about it. He's like, not here, ixnay on the, which in all fairness, I'm like, I get it. And I know he kind of says I'm not really into anything, but come on, Murphy. Like, you are sitting on the middle of the street somewhere. You should know he's not going to start telling you. Well, I guess that's it too, because it's right after Grayson brings up the cloak. And then she's like, you just lied really well. And you don't do
that's
that.
That's another thing. Him being able to be a good liar out of nowhere is a little bit like, okay.
Right? Like, a
Maybe
long
you
time.
Just had a lot more practice lying recently. Or is this more lash?
And again, I'm going to say a bit from column A, a bit from column B, because we have now progressed to, you know, 8 years or so of this heavy duty, extreme private investigating that he's doing. where, yeah, he probably has had to. But I mean, like you say, in those first couple books, he made a very big point of saying how shit he was and how Murphy could call him on every time. And pretty much everybody could call him out every time. And basically why he doesn't lie, because he's just not good at it. So it could be a little bit of the progression that, again, he has had a lot more to hide with the war and with all the different factions and with Murphy can't tell him about the wizards and the wizards can't tell him about Murphy and then the fairies and then the, right, he's had all these separate things. But again, right, the fact that he is so much better at it and so smooth at it and stuff, that is probably a really good indication that, yes, some of this other stuff might be impacting just a little bit as well. But yeah, all that. And then she's like, so what's going on? He's like, yeah, let's not talk about it out here. She's like, all right.
I liked this moment where he like has his, where he clearly has his vulnerable moment, gets upset. And that Murphy,
you're such a girl,
identifies
Harry.
It and make sure he is okay first before yeah. she teases him and like,
yeah,
you're okay.
And then she's like,
poke.
One little car accident, you're getting all emotional. But yeah, exactly right. That it's a great moment between them. It's not too sappy. Like,
it's had
just
a couple now, but it's really good.
Yeah, just another
defining moment for how these two operate.
Yeah, just another one that is
best friends.
Yeah.
Murphy then asks if he knows who did it, and Harry tells her he's sure shit gonna find out.
I have big issues with the end of this book.
Which we'll get to at the end of this book.
I know. It's gonna take a long
Too
time.
Bad we're only on chapter 4.
We'll talk about it in a year.
Join us next May for the conclusion of Proven Guilty.
Look at that face. This concludes our episode 17.2, Pop-Up Advertising. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanalys.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.